From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the opening message in a series of studies in the law of God. Unfortunately, there are Christians who think that the law of God has no place in the life of a New Testament believer. Others labor under the delusion that they can be saved by their efforts to keep the law. But what does the Bible really have to say about God's law? In introducing this series, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the reasons why God gave the law. Ignorance of or disregard for God's law has resulted in a sad state of affairs in the church, as well as in society as a whole. Many a church and many an individual Christian has no conception of reverence or of awe toward God. In the first place, God gave the law in order to make men know that they are accountable to Him for all they are and do. Then the law is intended to make clear to all men God's standard for right and wrong. The law sets forth the only standard of acceptance with God, perfect obedience to its precepts and commands. It establishes the guilt of fallen man before a holy God and slays all self-righteousness. In the face of this rather bleak picture, we'll see that the great purpose of the law is to lead sinners to Christ, the one who alone met the absolute standard of the law. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Judges chapter 7 and verse 20. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Gideon ordered his men to do two things. Covering up a torch in an earthen pitcher, he bade them, at an appointed signal, break the pitcher and let the light shine, and then sound with the trumpet, crying, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon! The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" This is precisely what all Christians must do. First, you must shine. Break the pitcher which conceals your light. Throw aside the bushel which has been hiding your candle, and shine. Let your light shine before men. Let your good works be such that when men look upon you, they shall know that you have been with Jesus. Then there must be the sound, the blowing of the trumpet. There must be active exertions for the ingathering of sinners by proclaiming Christ crucified. Take the gospel to them. Carry it to their door. Put it in their way. Do not suffer them to escape it. Blow the trumpet right against their ears. Remember that the true war cry of the church is Gideon's watchword, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. God must do it. It is His own work. But we are not to be idle. Instrumentality is to be used, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. If we only cry, the sword of the Lord, we shall be guilty of an idle presumption. And if we shout, the sword of Gideon alone, we shall manifest idolatrous reliance upon an arm of flesh. We must blend the two in practical harmony, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We can do nothing of ourselves, but we can do everything by the help of our God. Let us therefore, in His name, determine to go out personally and serve with our flaming torch of holy example and with our trumpet tones of earnest declaration and testimony. And God shall be with us, and Midian shall be put to confusion, and the Lord of hosts shall reign forever and ever.
Word have us pursue the approval of Christ in all that you do. Proclaim his great word, be consumed in his love, pursue him alone until with him above. Press toward the mark, straight toward the goal, press onward and forward, both body and soul, for the heavenly prize, for the look in his eyes, and for the crown that will not fade away. Forget things behind, reach farther ahead, oh, follow the Savior's example instead. Count all gain as but loss, and all loss as but gain to know Him.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
James tells us in chapter 1, verse 23 through 25 of his epistle, that the law is like a mirror, and it lets a man see himself as he truly is. Why did God give the law? To establish what is right and what is wrong. Let me say to you tonight that this has a very individual application. Ultimately, you are not going to stand before any human judiciary. Ultimately, you are going to stand before God. It matters not how acceptable your life is to the corrupt and vile society in which we live. It matters not how morally you stand towering superior over this age and the people of it. You will stand before God to be judged according to His law. That standard of right and wrong never, never, never changes. The third reason why God gave His law was to establish the only standard of acceptance with Him. Why did God give His law? Micah tells us, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord thy require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God? The law sets forth God's standard of holiness. It shows what God expects, yea, what God demands, and the only thing that God will accept. Paul says, it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. That's the standard, total and perfect, absolute and impeccable obedience. Not just in what the old Puritans used to call the substance or the matter of the commandment, but also in the motive. I must confess, as I studied this and thought about it this week, I came to realize I doubt, and I say this very honestly, I doubt if there is ever one thing I have done in all my life that I could honestly look up to God and say, there is obedience. You see, it's not just in the outward form, but it's in the inward desire of the heart to do that for the sole honor and glory of the Lord Himself. What a standard for acceptance with God. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this myth that some of the Jews have taught for a long time, and now it has become almost so-called Christian orthodoxy, that God will take your life and He'll weigh up your good deeds and your bad deeds, and if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you'll be all right, but if they don't, well, who knows what's going to happen to you. That's neither Christian nor Orthodox. It's the lie of the devil. First of all, if God weighs up all your deeds, let me tell you, you'll find they'll all be on the one side, the wrong side. The standard is absolute, perfect, unblemished obedience, short of which there is no hope of being acceptable to God. Thus, the fourth reason God gives His law is to establish the guilt of fallen man Paul made this abundantly clear. He says, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Why does God reveal His law? He reveals His law so that His witness to every man in Adam, fallen, unclean, will be clear. Guilty before God. The Lord Jesus says, there is one that accuseth you, even Moses, that is the law. The law accuses the lawbreaker. How many people kid themselves, well, nobody has seen me do this. Nobody knows that I think that. My hidden life is just that. It is hidden. You go through life with the bland smile of the hypocrite. Remember the words of Hagar, thou, God, seest me. That law that is written in the heart will rise up as a vocal advocate of your doom, will accuse you, and then, as we have read in Galatians 3:10, condemn you. God thus establishes the guilt of every man by nature. And the fifth reason He gives His law is therefore to slay all self-righteousness. Now put these things together. If God by His law establishes the standard of acceptance with Him as absolute, sinless, undeviating perfection in obedience to the substance and spirit of the law, if in so doing He establishes the guilt of every man by nature, then He also slays the self-righteousness of the heart of every Pharisee. And that means every one of us. Oh, by nature, how we love to hide behind our own self-righteousness. Well, maybe this is true, but there's always the but. I judged by the standard of somebody else. I can convince myself that I am so upright, so holy, so decent, so good. But God does not allow us to judge ourselves by others, but by the standard of His immutable law. And by that standard, He says, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. My, what a shocker that is. There is sin in the holiest desire that you've ever felt. There is corruption in the most upright thing you've ever done. There is selfishness in the most selfless action you've ever taken. There is rebellion in what you have taken to be the greatest submission to God. We are all as an unclean thing. Your very righteousness as a filthy rag. That's why Paul says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's why Jesus said to the Jews of His day, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And while it is easy to bash the scribes and Pharisees, let us say this, that by the standards of the lives of churchmen today, these would be the most celebrated paragons of virtue in America, were they with us. Jesus looked at the people and said, look, if your righteousness can get no better than theirs, you can't be saved. Because, as Paul puts it, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it is according to God's mercy that He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Which brings me to the heart of the message. The sixth reason why God gave His law was to lead sinners to Christ. To lead sinners to Christ. The law of God exposes sin and the sinner. It tears away the veil from the heart. It convicts. If you haven't begun to feel tonight just how great a sinner you are, you need to be scared. If you can open your heart to what the Bible says about the law of God and just glibly say, oh well, it doesn't apply to me, or I don't want to think about it, or man, you're in trouble. I know as a Christian, when I come to study God's law, it devastates my soul and all hope in myself. But thank God it points me to Christ. Paul said the law was our schoolmaster. And of course he's using that term in its ancient connotation. Schoolmaster then wasn't there to pamper you. A schoolmaster would use the whip and a lot more. He was a slave driver until you came to graduate from school. Just as a schoolmaster would whip and cajole and hurt and drive his student to learn, so the law whips and wounds in order to lead us to Christ. Because listen, God demands a perfect righteousness, and the gospel points to Christ and says, Christ has provided it. God says, here is my standard, impeccable obedience. The gospel points to Christ. And God the Father speaks from heaven and says, yes, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The gospel tells us that Christ is made unto us righteousness. Oh, the law would bring us wounded, condemned to the feet of Jesus.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.